Live by Love, Elder Joseph F. Smith. Joseph F. Smith, Conference Report, October 1945, pages 31-33. For the time allotted to me this afternoon, I pray that I may have an interest in your prayers, that I may bear my testimony to our mutual benefit. There are occasions, great occasions, which come to us, which we would fain share with our brethren and sisters. A memorable occasion. It is frequently said that the Lord has raised up a particular man to perform a particular mission. Every one of us here has heard that discussed, and has heard how the peculiar talents of each of the presidents of the church have been of especial value during his respective mission. I wish that all the members of the church could have witnessed the council meeting wherein the presidency was reorganized. If ever there was a time when the Spirit of the Lord was indubitably manifest, it was on that occasion. Everyone present thrilled to it. Everyone present was aware, beyond doubt, of the absolute rightness of it. It is not for me to say what particular mission President George Albert Smith has ahead of him. This I do know, however, that at this particular time in the world's history, never was the need for love among brethren so desperately needed as it is needed today. Furthermore, I do know this, that there is no man of my acquaintance who loves the human family, collectively and individually, more profoundly than does President George Albert Smith. Those two things coming in conjunction, the need for love, his presidency at this time, have for me at least, peculiar significance, and I should like this afternoon to be remembered as saying just this: we must love one another, and we must do more than that, love for fellow men in need of the world. The Savior told us what the two great commandments were. At another time he went beyond loving one's neighbor, at least he became more specific on another occasion: but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. A little later on he continues, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. In a world seething with hatred, in a world calling for harsh government of vanquished people, I hope that the Latter-day Saints can remember that we must love our enemies. There are those who say, but we must be practical, it is no time for sentimentality, we must face facts. With that I heartily agree. We must face facts, we must be practical, and I bear you my testimony that the only practicality which will bring peace to the world is that we shall love our fellow men. The meaning of freedom. So much has been talked about liberty, so much has been said about fighting for freedom. What good is the winning of battles if we shall negate them by acts of unwarranted hatred? About this matter of freedom, I should like to say this regarding personal responsibility. Too many people think of freedom in terms of license. Freedom is not the right to do as one jolly well pleases. Freedom stops for someone when someone else commits an act detrimental to his neighbor. I have no right to any conduct which would impede the progress of my neighbor. I have no right to any act which would take the freedom from someone else. And that thought carried a little further is of tremendous significance to the Latter-day Saints. This is a missionary church. Upon us rests the responsibility of crying the gospel to the world, because only by it can peace and liberty come. The power of example. It is very easy sometimes for Latter-day Saints to say, what I do is my own business. If I break the word of wisdom a little bit, that's my business. There is no such thing as strictly private conduct. A Latter-day Saint, in a careless moment, may perform a thoughtless act which will stand in the way of someone else's accepting the gospel. I know of one little branch in the mission field that had been built up laboriously, and that little branch was all but destroyed by a careless act of a thoughtless missionary. It is well for us to take careful stock of any projected action, no matter how seemingly trivial, and ask ourselves, if I do this, if anybody sees me do this, will it discourage his faith in the gospel of Christ? How tragic to have someone interested in the gospel, on his way in the path of investigation, see a Latter-day Saint violate one of his ideals, and then say, if that's Mormonism, I want none of it. If they preach one thing and do another, I want none of it. Brethren and sisters, every one of us will be held responsible for any act which proves to be a stumbling block to someone else. We have no right to such conduct. Yes, we have the power to choose, we have the power to do, but we have no right to conduct which would discourage someone else from obtaining the blessings which come through faith and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is easy in the modern tempo of living to be careless, it is easy to be unwise, it is easy to speak harshly. Let's take thought as Latter-day Saints, let's be contributors to peace. Let's be brethren, let's love one another, and remember that love can be deliberately developed, it can be cultivated through service. You love those whom you serve. Parents love children more than children love parents, because the parents do more for the children. Their love grows out of service. If you would love a man, do something for him. I pray that we may be Latter-day Saints. Bear in mind, ours is the responsibility to carry the message to the world, not merely by word of mouth, but by every act and the manner of every action which is perceived by others. I pray that the Lord will help us to live according to His word, that we may love each other, that we may be just, that we may even learn to love our enemies, that we may so live that people observing our lives will be encouraged in their faith. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.